I was in the engine service as an engineer out of Little Rock until 1953, in which the road foreman of engines, W.H. Stivers, called me and he said, "Guy, they're looking for a new officer as a road foreman of engines." And he said, "I put your name in." He said, "You've been a good employee for me." And he said that the general manager of the Rock Island, W.C. Honick, is in town and would like to interview you. Well, I interviewed with Mr. Honick, and he said, "Are you interested?" And I said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Mr. Honick, one thing about a son whose father is an officer," I said, "we always try to outdo our fathers or do a better job or have a better position. That's just inborn, instilled in us." So I said, "Where is this position?" He said, "Chicago, Illinois." He said, "I'll never forget to give me an enticement. He knew I had two beagle dogs." He said, "A lot of good hunting around Chicago, Illinois." I said, "Okay." I said, "I'll take the job, Mr. Honick, and I appreciated you giving me an interview and a chance to elevate myself." And as he left, I had another 3 or 4 hours, and I got home, and I thought, "What in the world have I done?" I told my wife, I said, "I can't go. I can't go to Chicago." I said, "Yeah, I'm a Southern boy, and I have no business in Chicago whatsoever. They probably wouldn't even understand my language." And so I called Mr. Honig up at the motel, and I said, "Mr. Honig, I've never done this in my life. I've gone back. I have to go back on my word." And I said, "I just hate that. I said, I cannot go to Chicago. I just can't." And he said, "That's okay, guy. I understand." So about 3 months later, well, they had another opening at El Reno, Oklahoma. And C.W. Ivey, a good friend of mine, he was already assistant superintendent at El Reno. And he said, "Get Guy Winters out of Little Rock." Says he wants one of these jobs. And he said, "He'll make you a good man." And they said, "Well, he didn't take the Chicago job." And he told him, he said, "That's what I'm talking about." He said, "He's intelligent." He said, "That's a smart move not to take the Chicago job." And he said, "You think he'll come?" He said, "Ask him." So they asked me, and I took that job in 1953 and went to El Reno. Had territory from El Reno, Oklahoma to Dallas, Texas, and the branch lines, and from El Reno to Shawnee, Oklahoma to the east. And of course the Rock Island track began to get in a deep, terrible, disheveled condition. The federal government gave us money to upgrade, but they always made it imperative that the $100 million that they'd give us would go into the rolling stock and not in the ground on the track where it was needed. And one time I walked into the superintendent's office there at El Reno, and he said, "You see this stack of papers on the paper on my desk?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know what that is?" I said, "No." He said, "That's over $3 million for Holcher side booms, picking up wrecks and putting it back on a rail and everything. But our rail and our roadbed was not being improved. That's what happened to the Rock Island." Just before the railroad folded, they'd cut back on all of their officers, and they offered me a position didn't offer it. They transferred me to Des Moines, Iowa, with territory from Des Moines to Council Bluffs, Iowa, and the branch lines, and from Des Moines, Iowa, to Minneapolis, Minnesota, northward. Yeah. Well, I had the Chicago people come into Des Moines from the east, and we had troubles. We needed an interpreter, because we couldn't understand what the other meant or were inferring, and it was like talking to a person in another world. I asked them one time, I said, can you tell without me identifying myself on the radio who I am? They said, first word you say, we know who you are. Said that Southern drawl comes out on the radio. I said, well, I just wondered, because I get different reactions of to what I want done. And that went right over the top of their head. They didn't understand anything I was saying that. It's a different world. Mm-hmm. They're different people. But anyway, in Des Moines, I stayed there over a year, and I called the general manager, J.W. Pasta. And I said, Mr. Pasta, I'm going to have to quit. Oh, no, guy, he said, don't quit. We like your work. We like your work. I said, I've got to quit. My wife has been in a townhouse for over 6 months, and she can't even get out for the snow. And I said, this is not any good. It's not any good at all. And I said, I'm having a hard time communicating with these Yankees. I said, I know you're a Southern boy, or I wouldn't say that word. But I said, they just don't want to pay attention. And I said, I've been told, don't bother them if on lunch break if they go across the street and drink beer. Said that's their way of living, is they have a beer with lunch, everything. Said you'd fire everybody on the railroad for alcohol if you started into that when you was up there. And I said, well, I noticed there's a lot of saloons and beer halls all over Des Moines here. And he said, yeah, it's even worse to the east. So that's the way they get to work when it snows. They go from one saloon to another one, and they retank and on their way to work. And I said, well, it's a different lifestyle than I'm used to. But stayed there about a year.
What year was this?
That was 79,
just before the end.
And he said, well, what is it? He said, I don't want you to quit. I said, Mr. Pastor, I've got seniority in Little Rock, Arkansas. I can run an engine. And he said, I know it, but don't quit us. Don't quit. He says, what would please you? I said, south. I've got to go south. And he said, how far south? And I said, well, if you'll pardon my joke, I said, I'll get a snowmobile and tie it on the end of the car, and I'll drag it till somebody says, what is that thing you got? Yeah. You're hauling behind that car. I said, then that's south enough. He said, will they have you at El Reno? I said, that superintendent and I bonded well. I said, he is my friend, C.F. Haley. And I said, I think he will. I won't speak for him, but I believe he would have me. He said, will you be right at this phone at 12 noon? I said, that's another hour. He said, I'm going to call Mr. Haley. And I said, I'm not going to move from this phone. Well, I watched that clock, and the minute it went to 12 noon, the phone rang. Called Mr. Pastor. Mr. Pastor was on the phone. He said, how fast can you report to El Reno, Oklahoma? I said, Mr. Pastor, I'll call the wife and tell her to burn the furniture, and I'll meet her at the state line. Uh-huh. Yeah. And this was the first place that we'd ever left. And we had Allied movers come out, and we gave them the keys to the apartment and say, get everything that's not nailed down, we're gone.
Uh-huh.
And we left before they even started packing. And we told them where we were going to El Reno. And went back to El Reno and stayed there until March 1980. As the railroad went out of business, we started gathering up all the trains and moving them northward for someone, I guess, wherever the stockholders and the board of directors had directed.